Hi everyone, this is James from the Controllerism podcast brought to you by Octopart. I am joined by my co-host Joseph Passmore, and today we have a special guest for you. It is Christian Tiik from the Estonian company Efenco, doing some really exciting stuff in the energy sector. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, James and Joseph, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Anytime. Just for anyone who's never heard of your company, do you want to tell people sort of what you do, what your role is at the company? You're CEO and founder, but how has that journey been? And just sort of general background stuff would be great.
Yes. In general, what Efenco is and what it does, actually the name says the story. Efenco comes from efficient energy conversion. So this is our center that we develop technologies, I would say, as many technologies that help to convert energy more efficiently. This is what we do. And with few words, we have been around almost 9 years already developing quite extraordinary technology, which is much more efficient combustion with the help of plasma-assisted combustion. And probably we'll talk about this later as well. And my role, yes, I've been since the beginning. We had three founders, myself and two, scientists in general, and not particularly correct, but one is more scientific background, one more engineering background. And they had their own kind of research resulted with a hypothesis that there is a possibility to convert energy much more efficiently. We have been in the journey to validate this hypothesis and bring it to the market.
Oh, it's exciting stuff. Really, really interesting. What is exactly combustion energy generation, and how much of your how much of the world's current energy production does it actually account for?
Combustion energy, well, the numbers in years can vary, but I guess in my mind I have something 2022 figures, and from that I know that 77% of world energy consumption is based on combustion today. And in that kind of pie, solar is roughly 5%, hydropower 6%, nuclear 4%, and there are other renewables and biofuels. So this is the combustion, like, is majority. This is the message at the moment, and it's a good question that where are we going with the combustion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see it going away anytime soon. It's not going to overnight.
It's going to be hard.
Something else.
It's going to be very hard and very painful to really avoid this or ignore this energy conversion. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion, at least.
But has combustion reached its limit? And what role does high energy ray ceramic play in pushing this boundary?
Yes, probably it's easier to explain this through what we do, what is our product. You mentioned our product name, high energy ray ceramic, which is basically, I can show you how it looks like in real life, something like this thing. It's just one prototype. It can look like a bit different, but basically it's photon generator, which is in combustion context. If you can imagine big natural gas boiler, big round tube where is huge flame inside. So what our technology does, we call them HERC chips, they will be installed inside the combustion chamber walls, so that they will be fixed in the walls, and they take heat as their energy source, and they convert this heat into the radiation. More specifically, it's let's say, in the range of vacuum ultraviolet soft X-ray range radiation. Basically, we can simplify and say it's photons generator. It generates photons out of the heat. There is no wires, no moving parts. It's passive element that converts heat into the radiation. This is the innovation and patented our patented technology. And now those photons, what they do inside the combustion, they initiate plasma reactions. So basically, normal combustion happens in chemical reaction zone. There is bond breaking, bond making, quite well-known processes happening, and the limit is there quite clear. And coming back to the question, what is the has combustion reached its limit? Our perspective at the moment is that that the limit for the chemical reaction combustion is clearly there. I mean, if you today go to the market and buy a gas boiler, you would see there is efficiency, I don't know, 85 or 95% even. So that means it operates almost in the limit of the chemical combustion limit. And now when we talk about plasma-assisted combustion, first I must say that the science, we have talked with a lot of scientists here in Estonia, in England, in Sweden, etc. The science around plasma-assisted combustion is relatively young, and there is no kind of really clear scientifically proved processes. And one of the reasons is that they say that in plasma-assisted combustion, there happens around 1,000 reactions in the same time, so simultaneously. So to figure out what is the exact reaction path and what reacts with what is really complicated task for scientists. Anyhow, we see and we have demonstrated that with the specifically the way we create plasma, this chemical combustion limit can be exceeded. And more specifically, that what we have many times proved to ourselves and also demonstrated that our plasma assisted combustion can save 20% of the energy, deliver the same amount of heat with 20% less fuel, basically. So I would say combustion, as we know it, has reached its limit, but I want to say that there is probably other ways to improve the reaction.
So if you're increasing efficiency and reducing that waste, that must have an impact on sustainability.
Definitely, definitely. That's one reason why we do it, that we all know the sustainability race we all have, that at the end of the day, it's not a question about what fuel we use when we don't have anything to fuel. I mean, we have to think sustainably. That's our core belief. And what impact, well, when we go here, kind of philosophical, then the question is that we started with from the number 77% of energy conversion happens in combustion. And now when we make some thought experiment to think what we should have to replace all that with, let's say, wind and solar or maybe nuclear in some cases, then if we only focus to wind and solar, the amount of energy that we need to produce all the wind farms and solar parks and the land we need for that, probably it's doable by the land if we talk about deserts, but anyway, and also right now we're focusing into industrial heat specifically, and the infrastructure changes what is needed to, for example, deliver enough, let's say, green electrons into the factory. We need new grids, new power connectors, and new infrastructure for the for the industry. So that that is a question mark. What has to be faced? I would say that to replace all that, it's most probably needs a lot of energy. It's one, we have to accelerate to use energy, and the other thing is, of course, resources. Many of those technologies need quite scarce resources. So to, is this scalable in that scale? We do believe that existing infrastructure can be replaced with minimum effort, with minimum retrofitting effort to step into the next level of combustion. That's our way to think.
What industries operate at over 300 degrees Celsius, meeting the requirements for your technology?
No, actually, they most of let's say huge process heat industries operating there. I would say 80%+ operates there, and I mean their chemical industry, pulp and paper, ceramics, food industry, basically you name it. What is the like? Normal use case is that one or the other process in on those industries need heat as a, let's say, to make some reactions happen in chemical industry or in pulp and paper. They boil this wood soup there, so they need heat, and they mostly operate over 300, so a huge industry. Based on our market research, it's 7,000 terawatt hours operates there. So this is our kind of total addressable market globally.
What does the retrofitting process look like? You mentioned that just before and you said it was quite easy. How exactly is that done?
Let's say based on our face where we are, and I honestly can say that we are relatively early stage, but nevertheless we have reached to the technology readiness where we did industrial scalability demonstration, meaning that we installed 0.7 megawatt industrial boiler with 100 hour chips and validated the effect. The same 20% was reached there. So this case study, based on this case study, we can say that the retrofitting took probably 2 hours. So technically what it is that we have prefabricated frame that is size of the combustion chamber. Those chips are fixed there before we start to enter into the boiler. The boiler will be open. Of course, the time-consuming part for industry is this cooling down part. If it's operational boiler, then you need to cool it down, and this is this may be time-consuming. But from our perspective, we see that there is certain checking time, so we kind of fit there, so it don't have to be extra time. Anyway, it's a couple of hours. It's easy in that sense.
What does the lab to industry journey look like for Finco?
The question is how deeply we dig in there. It has been 9 years from lab to industry journey, and there is many aspects. In one hand, I would describe it, it's definitely challenging to develop totally new technology, which has, probably it's worth to mention that the technology itself to produce or to make this chip, there is so-called vacuum nanotechnology, which we have kind of apply, and it is really precise subatomic level preciseness what has to be applied. So it has been challenging journey, of course, Nevertheless, we have reached here where we right now, actually, if we say where we are in the after this kind of scalability validation, we started to kind of product development journey to replace materials that should withstand at least, I would say, 3 years is our target time, that the lifetime of the product must be 3 years. Then it's a really good economy, and of course the sustainability factor starts to work very well, and we have iterated with many prototypes and iterating, testing, changing materials, and challenging, interesting. I must say that it is only possible here, maybe, to kind of jump into the context that it would be impossible to do it with normal commercial based innovation. So we have luckily had a chance to use, let's say, here in Estonia, local governmental innovation grants, and European. We actually won 1 year ago the biggest innovation grant to develop sustainable technology. So this has been enabler to make that kind of technology development or innovation.
Altium 365 lets you hold the fastest design reviews ever. Share your designs from anywhere and with anyone with a single click. It's easy. Leave a comment tagging your teammate and they'll instantly receive an email with a link to the design. Anyone you invite can open the design using a web browser. Using the browser interface, you're able to comment, mark up, cross-probe, inspect, and more. Comments are attached directly to the project, making them viewable within Altium Designer, as well as through the browser interface. Give it a try and get started with Altium 365 today.
What is the scalability of this type of product? You mentioned industries. Are there different sizes of combustion engines? Can you create larger scale ones, smaller scale ones?
I must clarify that at the moment we talk about combustion, let's say boilers or kilns, or not engines. Engine is basically, I must say that in theory, the technology what we develop can be applied for any kind of combustion and any kind of fuel. It doesn't matter, is it gaseous, is it solid or liquid fuel. By principle, it the kind of the radiation should initiate. There are, it's not the same product, but kind of fine tuning the wavelength and some parameters, it can be adjusted to different fuels. And technically also doesn't matter, is it the engine, which is in internal combustion engine, or boiler, which is just open flame. But engineering wise, at the moment, gaseous fuel boiler, which means open flame, is the easiest and cleanest, like technologically cleanest environment where to apply. So regarding scalability, what I just told, that this scalability test, what we did, 0.7 megawatt boiler, showed that there is certain scalability factor. The question is how many chips per installed capacity of the boiler we need to apply. So it is scalable, and from the business perspective and also customer kind of return on investment perspective, the most important factor is usage, meaning that what is the how much this boiler is used in year. So is it like 75% of the total capacity is used? So this is kind of average industrial usage. There the numbers talk from themselves, meaning that the payback time is very fast, because you like running through huge amounts of fuels, that means that you save a huge amount of money and fuel. Yeah, it is scalable. It's a question of numbers and, yeah, maybe some technical remarks that at the moment our ratio per installed capacity when this, let's say, how many chips per one kilowatt installed capacity is 2.5 chips per 10 kilowatt is the ratio. So you can calculate if it's a huge boiler, then it's hundreds or even thousands of chips needed to be installed and from then on.
What are some of the international and political implications of this ability to generate more energy from less fuel, especially in regards to global supply chain issues that we've seen in the last few years?
If you refer to supply chain as a gas supply shortages, for example, in Europe due to geopolitical situation, then it certainly has its effect, at least for Europe, the kind of need to change is huge. So the need to replace dependency on natural gas is one probably driving factors for Europe. And yes, I guess this has kind of pushed boundaries and politically also put many targets here in Europe. I don't see in States or UK, for example, such huge changes due to supply chains, chain problems, like at least I'm not aware of.
We did have some change, I believe, with the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. There was a pivot away from imported supplies because we were buying, I think it was like, I might be wrong with the statistic, but it's something around 15% from Russia.
Yeah, actually, that's an interesting kind of coincidence that in Europe, I guess I'm not wrong if I say that Europe, the total budget, like let's say Russian gas for was 20% of the total gas we used prior to the war. And it fits the same percentage what we can save. Technically, if we could install the whole Europe with our technology, we can get rid of unnecessary supplies.
There you go. Perfect. We were going to ask about the supply chain, but I think we covered it in that one. So I'm going to ask if you have noticed any trends in the energy generation space in the last few years that you found exciting or interesting?
I mean, the kind of race towards clean energy is huge. I see a number of interesting technology developments in the area of hydrogen. Actually, I didn't mention, but it's worth to mention that the technology what I just explained to you in the context of combustion, which is convert waste heat of the reaction into specific radiation. This is the core function of our technology, the HERC chip, can be applied in different applications. For example, we do work also with electrolysis. It is kind of we commercially don't do, but we have been started the experiments to validate some hypotheses, and technically there is also some, let's say, window of opportunity opening. But we'll see this a bit later. But nevertheless, about trends, I see huge efforts towards be it electrolyzers or hydrogen-based energy conversion and storage solutions. And I strongly believe, and actually in Evenco, in long run, what we see right now, how we think, is that we need to have fast reduction of emissions and 77% discount for fossil fuels. We would focus first there, but in the same time, our kind of vision is in hydrogen and hydrogen combustion also, because right now for industry to replace fossil fuel with hydrogen, there is kind of two problems. One is there is not yet enough green hydrogen with, meaningful cost. And the other is there is no, at least not in large scale, commercially available hydrogen combustion boilers or technologies. So I see that there are companies that developing hydrogen-based combustion technologies, and we see ourselves that we can, if we can reduce the need for hydrogen, then the kind of cost for kilowatt produced energy will be also meaningful for the industries. So yes, there are many, many interesting technologies.
Fascinating. There's people out there, I've seen, and politicians, some of them are saying it now as well, that if we want to meet our green targets, our emission reduction targets by the date that we want to, then nuclear will become necessary. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think it's doable without nuclear?
It's kind of emotional question that someone has emotion attached to that. I see that there are some smaller, smaller nuclear technologies which they say that it's more safe, etc. I'm not expert. I don't have technical opinion on that, whether the kind of risks have been the downside of nuclear has been really solved. So it's probably, it will be there. Should we aggressively switch there? I don't know. There are risks. Definitely, there are risks. It's probably country wise. Every country has the decision to make. That is it okay or is it not too okay to take this risk on board? That's it.
Yeah, I imagine it's causing some tension in the EU, considering some countries are very pro-nuclear and some are very against it.
Yeah, there is those dialogues are quite fueled, I would say. Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the questions. So I just had one more for you. If people want to keep up to date with what your company is doing, have a look at your technology, that sort of thing, contact you, where are the best places to do all of that?
I would say that first is our webpage, of course, which is evenco.eu. So efficient energy conversion is the reminder, and .eu. There is also, you can sign up if you have, it's a good thing you asked, that we definitely are reaching out to say that when there is smart people with good background in, vacuum nanoelectronics or high heat material technologies from the scientific side. So there is place to sign up to maybe partner up for developing faster. So this is definitely the place to go, and maybe even more kind of up to date is our LinkedIn profile, that when we have some news, we update there. So you can follow our LinkedIn profile as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really fascinating talking to you.
Actually, when the last question I wanted to add that we actually gonna start next fundraising at the end of this year. So if some investors or excited people, we haven't kind of defined the whole structure. Will there be also for smaller investors some kind of tool to join the journey? But nevertheless, if you check the LinkedIn, you probably will see.
Oh, great. That's exciting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Well, thank you. Again,
thank you. It's been fascinating. And I'm sure people are going to think about combustion in a different way after listening to this.
I hope so. Maybe the kind of final word that I find this a bit kind of unfortunate, the fact that a fossil is some kind of, let's say, becoming kind of evil word, that fossil is evil. And if we just without emotion think what it is stored energy in natural way in our earth. So it's stored energy, it's nothing more. And now to make the energy carrier, which is gas or oil, whatever, guilty on the thing that we are not smart enough to use it smart way, it's kind of wrong. So it's natural, it's green, it's sustainable. I mean, the question is how smartly we can use it. And we see that there is ways to use it smartly so we don't have unnecessary side effects what we have when we use it the old way. So the kind of mindset shift that fossil is not guilty. Guilty is the way we use it.
Interesting perspective. I haven't heard anyone phrase it that way.
It's we hope that we can step through the journey faster to deliver the product. So it takes time, all that kind of innovation. We want to make it as fast as possible.
Yeah, it's I guess it's one of those things where people are putting so much effort into moving away from it. They're not looking at actually making it better.
Yes, most probably.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for coming on and really being fascinating talking. And for anyone listening at home, tune in next week for another guest. If you are interested in checking out any of Efenco's links, we will have them in the video description, so make sure to check those out. Thank you. Come back next time.